Well, I was wishing this week that the writer of Hebrews 11 had added a few more stories in this chapter, because I've just been really enjoying looking at the faith of these individuals. Most of us are very familiar with the full stories of the people that are mentioned in here. That's why I haven't really covered a lot about the details of the stories themselves. So I just love looking at how he has just kind of zeroed in on just their faith and what it looked like. But the danger in knowing these stories so well is that we tend to kind of form in our minds our own ideas of what these people were like. And I know for me, growing up, hearing the stories of Moses and Abraham and Joseph, it's easy to think that we're so far removed from who they were and their relationship with the Lord. But one thing I love about Hebrews 11 is that it just focuses on one aspect of their lives, the most important one, their faith. And, you know, they all had very different lives. They lived in different time periods from each other. In different cultures, some of them, they had different callings on their lives. But they each had faith in the same God who never changed. And he still hasn't changed. And we all live in different time periods from them, in different cultures, different callings. We rest on different promises, new promises that the Lord has revealed to us since the time they lived. But we aren't any different from any of them. We've all been called and chosen by God. The same promise-keeping God has given us promises. And most importantly, and this is the theme of the whole chapter, we're also called to live by faith. And so we serve the Lord and we obey him and walk with him and hope in him, just like they did, by faith. The same faith that he gave each of them, he gives to us. And so we don't have to wait until we're further along in the Christian life, or we think that we can do great things for God, or we've caught up with the kind of faith that Joseph had, or some of these other ones. You know, God takes us where we are with our failures and our fears and our weaknesses, and he gives us faith just like theirs. And I like what Michael Youssef said about these men and women. He said, God didn't take them to the laundromat, wash them with Clorox and starch them, wrap them in cellophane, and then put them on a pedestal. You know, the writer of Hebrews doesn't emphasize their faults at all in this chapter, but they each had them. But he does emphasize what's most important about their lives, and that they believed God. And so the big things that they did, and the hard things, and the little things, and the everyday things, they did by faith. Faith always has a different vision, different eyes to see, so to speak, and we're going to see that emphasized tonight. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. But these individuals saw what many others didn't see. They saw the invisible with eyes of faith. We're told that faith is the evidence of things not seen, and that's what landed them in the hall of faith. And that's why we could have been there too, because living by faith just means living with a different kind of vision, one that the Lord gives us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So I love that we're studying this passage, because it teaches us that we're in good company with people who failed and faltered, but people who were involved in big things and little things that God was accomplishing, all because they were given faith to believe in a God who never fails and who is always faithful. But tonight we're going to look at the faith of Moses. And like Abraham, he has one of the largest sections in this chapter, the second largest section. But that shouldn't surprise us. He was one of the most significant men of the Old Testament, right next to Abraham. It might have surprised his readers, though. I remember he was writing to Jewish believers who were caught in that middle ground between the works of the law and this superior covenant, one that's fully realized by faith. And he's explaining to them that the just shall live by faith. And that's true of the people in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. But they had forgotten that because they were so wrapped up in what they had to do. And so the writer of Hebrews heads down this hall of faith, and one by one he shows them all their favorites. And he's teaching them that these men and women walked by faith and not by works. And so it's especially significant that he lists Moses here, because Moses gave them the law. And he taught them the works that God expected from his people, but works that were impossible, and that only pointed to the fulfillment in Christ, who was the mediator of this superior covenant. But they were steeped in the law of Moses. But he tells these Hebrew readers that the man who gave them the law of works was more importantly a man of faith. And so he doesn't even mention in this chapter that Moses is the one who gave them the law. He talks about who he was as a man of faith. And like Abraham, who was given more than one portrait, Moses is also given more than one portrait. He's actually given three portraits. And the first one is found in verse 23. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." So in this portrait, he's a newborn baby, but his parents are in the foreground. And in this portrait, they're exemplifying a faith that we're going to see in Moses' life too. They had a different vision. They saw with eyes of faith. It says that they saw he was a proper child, and we're going to look at what that means. And their faith was fearless. It says they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In the second portrait, Moses is 40 years old, making a life-changing decision. Verse 24, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward," or he looked to the reward. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So Moses looked to the reward, verse 26, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So he had eyes of faith, and so his faith was fearless. It says he wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. So just like his parents, he had that fearless faith. In the third portrait, Moses is 80 years old, an old man just stepping into the role he'd been called to from birth. So in verse 28, it says, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." So in this portrait, Moses is keeping the Passover by faith, but this time his faith had seen some miraculous works of the Lord. He had sent these plagues on the Egyptians and proved that he was God. But Moses kept the Passover because he was also still seeing with eyes of faith that God was about to deliver them, just as he had promised, and just as Joseph, 300 years earlier, had assured them would happen. And his faith was still fearless, but in this portrait, we're seeing that his faith also demonstrated a healthy fear of God. It says that he kept the Passover, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So in each of these individuals' lives, we're learning something about faith. Abel taught us where faith begins. Enoch taught us that faith is a walk. Noah's faith obeyed. Abraham set a fourfold pattern of faith. His faith obeyed. It waited patiently. It believed God for the impossible. And he had a faith that persevered. Last time we looked at the faith of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and their faith showed us that faith hopes even in death. But Moses teaches us that faith sees with different eyes, and so it's fearless. And Moses' parents were the ones who set the example of that in verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." So we've skipped ahead about 300 years from where we were last time. Last time we talked about Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. These all died in faith, we're told, not having received the promises. But they saw them afar off, we're told, and they passed down the promise, and they died in peace, believing that God would do as he promised. And Joseph believed it so strongly that he gave a commandment concerning his bones. The Israelites were to carry up his bones with them when they left Egypt to take possession of the land that God was going to give them. So when we come to the life of Moses, Joseph's bones are still in a coffin in Egypt as a testament to faith, as a testimony that someone 300 years earlier believed that God was going to bring them back to the land and give it to them. And Joseph believed it so strongly, he talked about their deliverance from Egypt as if he could see it happening. So really, this is a characteristic of all faith, not just Moses and his parents. Faith sees with different eyes. And in fact, in the definition of faith in verse 1, it says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So we walk by faith, not by sight, because faith sees differently. And Moses' parents were definitely an example of that. But if you turn to Acts chapter 7, we'll get a reminder of what's happening when Moses was born. This is Stephen's sermon, where he gives a brief overview of Israel's history right before he was stoned. But look at what he says about Moses in verse 17. It says, "But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who knew not Joseph. The same dealt craftily with our kindred and ill-treated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live." And he's talking about that edict that the Pharaoh passed, that all male children were to be thrown into the Nile, in which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. So in order to escape that edict, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months, and Hebrews were told that they hid him by faith. And the reason was because they saw something different about Moses. They had that different vision that all faith has. In Hebrews, we're told that he was a proper child. It's also been translated a beautiful child. Here we're told he was exceedingly fair, or other translations say he was well-pleasing to God or lovely in the sight of God. And really the same Greek word is used here in Acts as is used in Hebrews. And the word indicates that from birth they believed that God was going to fit this son of theirs for a particular calling. He was exceedingly fair to God, it says here in Acts. So he was a normal child, but one that Amram and Jochebed believed would fulfill a particular calling. It may be that God revealed to them somehow that he had a special plan for Moses. We don't really know exactly what they knew. We're just told that by faith they hid him because they believed God had a plan for him. And they saw all that by faith. And Hebrews also tells us that by faith they weren't afraid of the king's commandments. They saw by faith what they could never know then about what God had planned for Moses. And so they were unafraid by faith. Proverbs says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And that's exactly what they did. They didn't fear the king, the one who could had the power to destroy this child that they believed had a special calling on his life. They trusted the Lord, and they entrusted Moses into his care by putting him in a basket and putting him on the Nile River. "Whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe," it says. Faith is fearless. You know, God is better than our fears, David Brainerd once said. They entrusted Moses into God's care because they were not afraid of the king's command by faith. And we know what happened. Stephen tells us here in verse 21, "And when he was cast out," talking about when he was sent out in the basket, "Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him as her own son." And Exodus tells us he got to spend time with his mother again first until he was weaned. And I would imagine it took her longer to wean him than any of her other children. But Exodus just tells us that the child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. So we don't know how old he was when she took him to the palace, but he must have been old enough to be trained in the ways of the Lord. I'm sure she taught him of the promises of God because Moses knew all about them, even though he was raised in the palace. You know, Moses didn't look like Charlton Heston. He knew he was a Hebrew all his life, and he knew the promises of God. And being raised in both worlds was part of God's plan for fitting Moses for that calling. And verse 22 says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds." So he had the best of both worlds. He began his life under the training of his godly mother, and he was given the best education a man in that day could have. He saw the best of both worlds because his parents believed that God had a calling for him. They saw that he was a proper child. He was going to be fit for some kind of calling, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Their faith had a different vision and was fearless. And God protected Moses and put him exactly where he wanted him to be. But then Moses turned 40 years old, and he was faced with a decision. It says here in Acts in verse 23, "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So somehow Moses knew that God was going to use him to deliver his people. Maybe his parents told him that because of what they saw by faith. At 40, he had his own idea of how he would do that. But as we've been saying, Hebrews 11 doesn't emphasize that. It doesn't emphasize the failure of God's people. Instead, Hebrews 11 gives us a second portrait of Moses, and it shows us the faith that was going on behind that scene, a faith that was just like his parents. Verse 24 of, back in Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So even though Moses had a different idea at 40 of what his role was supposed to be, he had faith that saw things differently and was unafraid, the kind of faith that enabled him to make this life-changing decision. Stephen told us that he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So Moses grew up in the Egyptian palace being trained to be the next Pharaoh. There's strong evidence from other literature that Moses was next in line to be Pharaoh. The current Pharaoh had no son, and so the son of his daughter would be heir to the throne, but she had no son. She just had Moses, who she had found in a basket because of the faith of his parents, and who she raised as her own son. So you can imagine what Moses' life must have been like. He was brought up in the royal palace, next in line to the throne of one of the most powerful nations at that time. So everything was at his fingertips. Nothing would have been refused to him. He could indulge in sin. He could have whatever wealth he wanted. So he had honor and education and rank and abilities that God would use later. But we're told by faith he left all that. He left honor and pleasure of sin and wealth. And verse 27 tells us why. It says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So he forsook Egypt because he had that faith like his parents. He saw, he had a different vision, and he wasn't afraid of the king. And so when he came to the age when he could make his choice, by faith he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to suffer affliction with the people of God. He esteemed reproach as great riches, and he looked to the reward because he saw with different eyes and he wasn't afraid. So even though he had everything a man could want at 40 years old, he forsook Egypt. He refused, it says, he was refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which meant he gave up the throne and all that that would mean. He wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king, and the king would have been very angry with Moses' decision. He gave up the throne. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter by faith. So he didn't look at the throne as a way he could deliver God's people. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew that the throne meant indulgence in whatever he wanted. He saw that he couldn't deliver God's people and indulge in sin. He didn't look at the throne as an excuse to do both. Sin's pleasure is just passing. Moses noticed that, and maybe he had even experienced that, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God by faith. So instead of ease and comfort and fame and whatever he wanted, he chose affliction. He chose to be numbered with the outcasts of Egypt, the slaves, those who were despised in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of those that Moses even associated with probably at that time. So it says he chose to suffer affliction instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. So his faith had a different vision than what he could see in front of him, fame and pleasure and wealth and the rights of being a pharaoh. He saw differently from what the king would have seen when he found out what Moses had decided to do, that he wasn't afraid of how Pharaoh would react. Instead, it says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He saw something else with eyes of faith. He saw the reproach of Christ as great riches. And he looked to the reward, one greater than all he could have had on this earth. So he made this life-changing, hard to understand to the world choice because he had faith that saw something else, something better, something eternal and more valuable. He esteemed the reproach of Christ, which is what his choice would mean, as riches, riches far greater than the riches in Egypt. Well, why does the writer of Hebrews call it the reproach of Christ? You know, Moses didn't know Christ. Well, who does all of this remind you of? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, though he was rich, speaking of Christ, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. So Moses was sharing in only a tiny part of the reproach that Christ experienced, but he esteemed it as great riches. But he also was taking part in what God was planning to do by providing salvation through Christ. He looked forward to the coming of Christ. You know, no faith is complete until it's faith in Christ, not just faith for the sake of faith. You know, his mother must have taught him of the promise, which included the seed promise. You know, a coming deliverer who would be greater than he would have even been to his people. But it included reproach, and Moses esteemed that reproach greater riches than the riches of Egypt. And remember what we hear about Moses in the New Testament. It says that he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ. In Revelation, it tells us that the song of Moses will be sung along with the song of the Lamb. You know, these things were greater riches than he would have ever gained by becoming Pharaoh and trying to deliver his people from that position. The reproach of Christ was greater riches. He saw with different eyes, with eyes of faith. And it says he looked to the reward, or that he had respect into the recompense of the reward. He was looking forward with assurance, like Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, whose faith hoped even in death. You know, Moses grew up around that coffin filled with the bones of a man who believed that God was going to bring his people out of Egypt and give them the land that he had promised to them. I think that's part of what was in mind here when it says he looked to the reward. He was going to play a big part in that promise being fulfilled, even though at this time in his life he didn't have any idea how that was going to happen. But he also saw a greater reward, an eternal one, like we're told we have to look forward to. You know, Peter tells us we have an eternal inheritance laid up for us in heaven. And Moses was making these tough decisions and forsaking worldly gain and stepping into a pathway of suffering because his eyes of faith were on an eternal reward, that one that we're also waiting for. You know, we know now that he received that. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Song of Moses is going to be sung one day. So he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Or as Romans 8:18 says, he considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He had a totally different vision, one that doesn't make sense to the world and one that wouldn't have made sense to Pharaoh. But because his faith saw with different eyes, he was fearless. He didn't fear the wrath of the king, and so he forsook Egypt. So he made this choice by faith. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. He looked to the reward. He forsook Egypt. But he did all of these things. He endured, verse 27 tells us, as seeing him who is invisible. And this is in the present tense. All the years of his life of faith, he was seeing him who is invisible. His eyes of faith never looked away from the invisible God. It's mentioned three times in Scripture that God met with Moses face to face as a man talks to his friend. But Moses never saw God's face. Remember, he asked God once if he could see his glory. And God said that no one had ever seen his face and lived. And so God only showed him his back. And we don't know exactly what that means, but Moses came the closest of any man to actually seeing God. But here in Hebrews 11, we're told that Moses only ever saw the Lord by faith. He saw the invisible God, and that's how he was able to endure. Now, when he's done telling us all about the faith of these men and women, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And Moses was the perfect example of that. He endured, he ran the race that was set before him with patience because he was looking to the invisible God. He was doing what we're told here that we're to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then our race of faith doesn't really look much different from his. It's what ours should look like. Moses turned his back on the world and its promise of pleasure and wealth and prestige. He chose suffering with the people of God. He esteemed the reproach of Christ as great riches, and he looked to the greater reward. And this is what our race of patience looks like too. And if it doesn't look like that, we're not running it properly. It says he did this as seeing him who is invisible, or looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So faith sees with different eyes. It sees the invisible God who doesn't have hands and eyes and a physical being that we can bow down to like centuries of people have always wanted. He's the invisible God who we see by faith, because God shows us the works of his hands, and he convinces our hearts that he can see. And we know he's a real being because by faith we read these amazing stories, and we know that he was working in their midst, and because by faith we see him working in our midst. So faith sees with different eyes. That's why Moses was able to endure, and why we can run our race with patience, because we're seeing him who is invisible. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And faith is fearless. Moses wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king because he was looking to him who is invisible. He believed that he was greater than the world's greatest monarch, and he turned his back on becoming the next world's greatest monarch because he was seeing him who is invisible. He had a greater invisible being he was looking to, who was more worthy of the life that he had in front of him. Well, Hebrews skips the next 40 years of Moses' life. He spent it in the wilderness, becoming smaller in his own eyes, becoming more fully prepared for the calling God was fitting him for. And in verse 28, we have the third portrait. It says, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." So Hebrews picks up the story when Moses is 80 years old. God had spoken to him from a burning bush. He took him back to Egypt. He was still enabling him to endure as seeing him who is invisible. And he went before the king of Egypt and told him to let God's people go. But Pharaoh refused, and Moses watched God perform devastating plagues on the Egyptians, proving that the invisible God was greater than all the gods that they could see. But the writer of Hebrews focuses in on one more thing that Moses did by faith, and he could have mentioned many other things, but it says by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. So there are a lot of other things he could have mentioned about Moses' faith after he turned 80, about going back to Egypt and facing Pharaoh and all the years of leading God's people through the wilderness. Moses demonstrated a great faith, but he chooses only one thing to focus on, and he says by faith he kept the Passover. Remember, he's been talking to Hebrew believers who were caught in that middle ground between the Mosaic covenant and the new superior covenant through Christ. Now, the most important thing about the Mosaic covenant is that it points people to Christ. The impossible commands point us to Christ. The sacrificial system points us to Christ. The tabernacle and the priesthood, every aspect of the Mosaic covenant points us to Christ. And the very first requirement God placed on his people as he was molding them into a nation and leading them to the land that he had promised to them was the observance of the Passover. And Christ was crucified on Passover. He was that Passover lamb that all of that pointed to, rescuing his people from the bondage of sin, just like he rescued his people from Egypt. So Moses' faith had Christ in view as he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And by faith, Moses kept the Passover because he saw with eyes of faith that God was about to deliver them as he had promised. And he saw what the Passover pointed to. an ultimate salvation from bondage. So he was still seeing with eyes of faith at 80 years old, still seeing him who is invisible. And because his sight of God was so clear, he had a healthy fear of God. It says that he kept the Passover, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So he believed that if they didn't put the blood on their doorposts, their firstborn would be killed right along with the Egyptians. So Moses had a faith that was fearless, but when it came to the invisible God, he understood his greatness and his power so much that he feared him. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, "I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." You know, Moses' faith saw with different eyes, and it was fearless, but he still feared God. But it's a fear that doesn't make us shrink back from him. It's a fear that sees that he's better than our fears, as David Brainerd said. And that's the kind of faith that Moses demonstrated throughout his life, doing everything he did by faith as seeing him who is invisible. I don't know if any of you ever played that game when you were little where somebody stands behind you and you're supposed to just fall back and just expect that the person you can't see was there and they were going to catch you. I don't think I was very good at that. I know I never played it with my brothers. But that's sort of the kind of faith that we see demonstrated here tonight. It wasn't a game to them, but it was their life. You know, many of you here are mothers, and the rest of us can imagine along with you what it must have been like for Jochebed to make a little basket and place her three-month-old baby in it and leave him on the Nile River. She had to trust an invisible hand to care for him, and he did. Moses left the security of the palace and wealth and fame to be numbered with his people because he saw the invisible God by faith, and so he stepped into the unknown many times in his life. And the Lord used him and did great things through him. And Moses kept the Passover because he believed the invisible God was going to accomplish his final victory that night over the Egyptians, and he didn't presume upon God's mercy. He followed God's requirement of the Passover lamb because he saw a bigger, more powerful God who deserves the proper kind of fear. And the Lord calls upon us to have a fearless faith that trusts his invisible presence behind us, that fears him properly and sees with eyes of faith his hand at work. Moses' faith agreed with what Zephaniah tells us at the end of the Old Testament. He said, "The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty." You know, believing that and seeing that with eyes of faith should take away our fears and instead leave us with a fear of him that gives us eyes to believe whatever he tells us, because that's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, that looks unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for including these stories in your word. And I thank you so much that you work in our midst. You are the mighty God. And I pray that you will give us eyes to believe you and to see you and to live our lives based on what we know about you and are believing about you. And we just thank you so much that we can put our full trust in you and know that you will care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.